Child Is Something Else Again by Yehuda Amiche. A child is something else again. Wakes up in the afternoon, and in an instant he's full of words. In an instant he's humming. In an instant warm, insistent light, instant darkness. A child is Job. They've already placed their bets on him, but he doesn't know it. He scratches his body for pleasure. Nothing hurts yet. They're training him to be a polite Job, to say thank you when the Lord has given, to say you're welcome when the Lord has taken away. A child is vengeance. A child is a missile into the coming generations. I launched him. I'm still trembling. A child is something else again, on rainy spring day, glimpsing the Garden of Eden through the fence, kissing him in his sleep, hearing footsteps in the wet pine needles. A child delivers you from death. Child, garden, rain, fate. There is a literary trope known as the impossible task. In almost every culture, there are stories that involve heroes or ordinary people encountering these impossible tasks, endeavors that almost always require divine intervention to complete. In Rumpelstiltskin, the miller's daughter must weave straw into gold. In Cinderella, the young maiden must clean the entire castle in a day in order to attend the ball. One of my favorite examples rests in the adventures of Pericles from Greek mythology, where he spent 12 years undergoing 12 labors in order to find atonement for his past sins and achieve immortality. Among other heroic deeds, Heracles had to slay the nine-headed Hydra, obtain the belt of Hippolyta, queen of the Amazons, and clean the Augean stables in a single day. I guess he should have asked for Cinderella's help with that. So when I consider what Heracles had to go through in order to achieve penance and earn his place amongst the gods, the impossible task of new motherhood doesn't seem quite so daunting. After all, he had 12 labors, and at my last count, we only had 5. In my opinion, the first labor of bringing life into this world starts long before the moment you hear your baby's cry. As soon as you learn there is life within you, you begin to run the gauntlet of contradictory advice. With the advent of technology, we now have at our fingertips a nigh-infinite amount of information ranging from scientific studies to semi-scientific studies to a blog someone wrote while at least partially high. Each of them is presented to us with an equal amount of gravitas and ironclad validity, and as new mothers, we find ourselves wading through a mire of contradictions, hyperbole, overblown statistics, and a never-ending surplus of commandments regarding how we should guide our child from zygote to puberty without missing a beat. Fear and anxiety about the wellness of your baby isn't a possibility at that point, it is a certainty. The second labor which follows the first is judgment from one's own peers. The so-called mommy wars have never been fueled by so much passion and vitriol. On nearly every topic of pregnancy and babyhood, there is a mommier-than-thou option that leaves nearly all women, at some point, feeling like they're not doing enough, and the efforts they're putting forth pale in comparison to that of the other mothers in their circles. If you're delivering at the hospital with an epidural, you should be medication-free. If you're medication-free, you should be at home. If you're at home, you should be laboring in a small pond in the middle of a meadow with birdsong in the air and a cup of jasmine tea in one hand. If you're formula feeding, you should be breastfeeding. If you're breastfeeding, you should breastfeed until they're at least 1, 2, 3, 48. If they're sleeping in their crib, they should be sleeping in a bassinet next to your bed. If they're sleeping next to the bed, they should be in the bed with you. If they're in the bed with you, you should keep this up until they're in their early 20s and their college girlfriend finds it awkward. It keeps going and going, a keeping up with the Joneses of baby wearing, baby feeding, baby sleeping, and everything in between. It turns mothers against one another during a time when we need unity and support, which brings me to the next labor, isolation. It's about time. the next, you go from a plump, round symbol of hope and feminine bounty to simply the empty vessel, wringing your hands nervously in the background as people pass around the child you have worked so hard to bring into this world. It never ceases to amaze me how we lift up the pregnant woman in our society, rushing to give her a bus seat, to open doors, to bring gifts, but the new mother fades almost instantly in the background at a time in her life when she is often at her most vulnerable, tired, scared, and confused. Beyond that, we have moved from a tribal culture to one of closed doors and strange neighbors. It takes a village has morphed into it takes two people, sometimes one, and the occasional visit from a well-meaning relative who oohs and ahs and then carries on living their life. Trapped inside their homes, often without the support of their spouses who have returned to work immediately due to inadequate paternity benefits, mothers often face the challenges that a new baby breaks completely alone, without even a mother, grandmother, or sister to help guide them through those tender first weeks. Lalesh meetings and playdates are a fun idea, but when you struggle to find the time for a bowl of cereal or two, and to use the facilities, the local YMCA might as well be El Dorado, a mythical city of gold where women do yoga one-handed while nursing their baby with the other and taking a sip of their Starbucks during each downward dog. This next labor, to me, is the inevitable outcome of the past grief. Self-doubt. Here, the universe says, here is this most precious gift. Here is all the fragility of the world placed in your hands, mother, mother, a being composed entirely of need and trust and you and love and potential, and don't mess it up. Mama, don't get it wrong, the universe says, as you look into those deep pools of newness that are your baby's eyes, peering up at you from beneath a haze of how did I get here? You are raw and unbound. You sting and fret and pace and love so much it hurts. It breaks you. You begin to question everything you do once, twice, a million times over as your sleep when the baby sleeps opportunities quickly morph into worry sessions that have you agonizing over every baby-related decision you have made in the past 24 hours. Your intuition falls behind you as that little voice that knows what you and your baby need is drowned out by the cacophony of endless Google searches, competitive mothers, and heartbreaking loneliness. And where is the spiritual meaning in all of this? I had the impossible task, but no divine intervention. I ran this gauntlet expecting that my struggles would bring me some kind of victory, even if it was a Pyrrhic one. I thought going through these tribulations would raise me aloft and I would find some divinity through my suffering. All I encountered left a bitter taste in my mouth, and I found myself drowning under the weight of it all, losing the remains of me to the madness of these meaningless trials. I was so caught up in the convoluted mess that my circumstances had left me in that I thought all was lost until the final labor. The last labor was my baby. Holding my baby in my arms and seeing the look of trust on his face made me realize that the only advice I needed was his. If I could close the internet browser, put down my phone, set aside the books, and just listen to my child, he would tell me what I needed to know. I came to realize that far more important than the endless articles arguing with one another over how I should raise my baby were just mosquitoes buzzing in the distance, and the real conversation was happening between this tiny person and I as we navigated our adventure together. Seeing him smile for the first time made me realize that it did not matter how I stacked up to my peers, how I gave birth, what I fed him, where he slept. It didn't make me a lesser or better mother. It simply made me the right mother for him. As I watched him grow and thrive in those early few weeks, I learned that his health and joy meant so much more than any one elitist mother's opinion of my methods, and with that calm and gentle look on his face, my son told me that our love and our connection was above anyone else's judgment. And finally, sinking into the experience of being his mother healed the crippling self-doubt that had begun to eat away at both my identity and my faith. I might consider myself an ever-questioning agnostic, but my child provided me one of the few solid universal answers I have. My baby and I were meant to embark on this journey together. I realize that whatever mistakes I make, I will continue to be my baby's mother, and that very fact has become a solace and a respite. Through his trust in me, I found the courage to put my cape back on and play the hero once more. Isn't it funny how the experience of motherhood that we're all warned about, the sleep deprivation, the bodily fluids, the endless nights and days of diapers and crying, and the singular phenomena of not changing out of your pajama pants in 3 days, pales in comparison to the more insidious and possible tasks that await a new mother as she makes her entrance into our society. When he spoke of love, Khalil Gibran wrote that even as love crowns you, so shall he crucify you. Even as he is for your growth, so is he for your pruning. Even as he ascends to your height and caresses your tenderest branches that quiver in the sun, so shall he descend to your roots and shake them in their clinging to the earth. I realize that if you let it, motherhood will act as a temper for your sword. And if you open yourself to the experience, it will scrape you clean of all the useless ephemera of the world, so that you come out a far more honest version of yourself, raw and bleeding and clear, ready to face the Hydra. For now we see in a mirror darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know fully, even as also I was fully known. You see, for me, motherhood was not the impossible task. I was the impossible task. Motherhood was my divine intervention. Amen.